Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league.
Head, head. All right, John.
FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
Just about 2 weeks past the opening of the 2016 fantasy baseball season, tonight we get our first full Friday night slate, only one day game going on. It's time to talk some DFS baseball. I am your host, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. This Friday, got along with me, my man from Scout Fantasy, senior fantasy expert, Sean Childs. Got a lot of good things going on over at Scout Fantasy right now. A lot of good content, DFS and season long going out. Not to mention the fact you can also start hopping in some early fantasy football leagues and getting ready for the NFL draft. Also, of course, some dynasty stuff going on right now. Sign up. Dynasty startups are available. Draft dates are opening. Head on over to Scout Fantasy and get into that. And we'll talk about some of the other content we got in a little bit, but I really wanted to hop into this big baseball slate tonight. I'm going to have some action on the line, so if you do too, hopefully we can all end up looking pretty good when we wake up tomorrow morning. Sean, I want to get right into it. The first thing you notice about the slate tonight is the number of aces going on the mound.
Yeah, there's a couple of good matchups, especially, I mean, like, obviously the Kershaw-Baumgartner matchup. I mean, they seem like they always face each other, and Sale and Dallas Keuchel. And it's definitely should be an interesting to see which top ace comes through.
Obviously, when we go through and we talk DFS baseball, you want to look for those elite strikeout pitches, ring up those strikeout points. It's really how you be able to consistently cash in your tournaments. And mostly in your cash game also. The win, we think, kind of comes as a bonus, Sean. And when you look at some of the pitches tonight, a lot of these guys had an elite strikeout rate. A lot of these guys in a good position where they can't actually get a win. But, of course, win in, for a starting pitcher is something that is very hard to predict. When you look at a big slate like tonight with all these aces on the mound, your strategy going into it, are you paying up for pitching or are you looking for value at pitching? Because we're sure that Clayton Kershaw is going to go out and have his typical style Clayton Kershaw game. Even though his opponent is very familiar with him, he does tend to dominate them, regardless of the fact, the best pitcher in baseball right now. But he has a high salary on DraftKings. He has a high salary on FanDuel. Is it worth taking the risk of him hitting or going over that value of his high salary, or do you drop down somewhere else and try to get that next pitcher in line who can actually go over the value? Because there are some games on the slate where we got some big bats involved in good spots also.
I think this year was kind of interesting the way the season started. There was a lot of, there was some good pitching matchup, good pitchers that put up some good numbers, but there was a lot of failure with some aces, especially about the first 8 days of the season. But, you know, yesterday you just saw the dynamics of the impact of Jaime Garcia and Velasquez, you know, striking out 16 and just what monster scores these pitchers possibly could put up. So it's kind of some fantasy daily guys will want to cheat the starting pitching, but you know when they hit pretty damn good, and you need a lot of hitters to compensate for them. So I think that Kershaw has that obviously that high price point, and but I don't think the Giants really strike out that much, and they do match up pretty well with them. So it's really as great as he is, and he's pitched pretty well this season, that he's a tough buy for me just because I don't expect elite strikeouts. I mean, Giants, I think they rank near the bottom of the league and, at least as strikeouts as far as batters so far. It doesn't mean they're, going to, they couldn't have a bad night, but they out of all the teams in the league, they see Kershaw a lot, so they know what to expect, and they could swing earlier in the count and make better contact and maybe not score a lot of runs, but get a couple. And even Madison Baumgartner has two home runs off of him in his career.
Yeah, that's a funny one right there. I tell you what, the San Francisco Giants offense has been an offense, kind of getting it done so far this season, putting up about an average of 6 runs per game. So the Giants offense has, like you said, has been an offense that has been that has been getting it done so far this season, especially in the past, well, you know, in their last about five games or so. You look at that team right there, and it is a – it's a favorable pitching environment. Like I said, obviously Clayton Kershaw, Madison Bumgarner, the nice big ballpark, take that into consideration also. But before we get into that and break that conversation down a little bit more, it's time to head on over to the slate, Sean, and see what's going on for tonight and start to get your expertise on the matter. Right off the top, we got a very interesting one. I tell you what, could be a couple sneaky plays in this contest right here. The Milwaukee Brewers are at the Pittsburgh Pirates. Jimmy Nelson and Jeff Locke toe the slab. PNC is the ballpark. Pittsburgh is the favorite. The money line is at 135. The run total is sitting at 7.5, Sean. And right off the top, Jimmy Nelson could be a sneaky play tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Nelson, I mean, he's 4-2 in his career against the Pirates with a 2.48 ERA, and I think he's got like 35 Ks in like 36 innings. So he's pitched pretty well against the Pirates in his career, and there isn't really any standout Pittsburgh batter that's really kind of crushed him. I think the person with the most favorable success is I think it's McCutcheon. He has 3 hits and, you know, 7 at-bats with 4 walks and an RBI. So it really you know, it's a decent matchup for Nelson, and if you want to be against the grain, I think that he could be in play, and he does have a little bit of K ability.
When you look at the other side, Jeff Locke, not really, you know, one of the premier starters. The ballpark factor is not really the best, but I think the Milwaukee Brewers, right off the top, I think the Milwaukee Brewers come into the sneaky stack tonight. What do you think about what they bring to the table offensively?
Well, I think, you know, when the first thing that stands out is that, you know, look, Jonathan LaCroix struggled last year, had a bad season. He's played pretty well over last week. I think he had 3 or 4 hits the other night. He looks like he's coming on. He's batting cleanup for a catcher, and he has 10 hits and 24 at-bats with a homer and 7 RBIs against Locke. That's pretty damn good. And then you got Braun right there sitting with him hitting .323 and 31 at-bats with a, you know, 3 doubles, a homer, and 2 RBIs. That's pretty impressive, and I think Aaron Hill has a homer. So I think that, you know, like you said, that, you know, Locke's kind of a soft tosser. He's not going to blow you away. You got a couple guys on Milwaukee that have had success. They're hitting next to each other in the lineup. And, you know, maybe that they, you know, knock Locke around a little bit.
Yeah, and I think Locke is a guy that can get Locke knocked around. And, you know, with so much, let me get a little bit deeper into the slate later on. We'll talk about some of the pricing that goes on because there is some favorable positions for hitters, especially a situation in Toronto and Boston. But when you look at Jonathan LaCroix, he's coming in right now at a catcher at $3,300. He's a guy that I think was going to be able to get you some of the heavier bats and maybe even some of the more high-priced pitchers in your lineup. LaCroix coming at that kind of value. Now, you talked about some BVP, some batter versus pitcher stats. When you're looking to put together your rosters, your action, your tickets for the Daily Fantasy Baseball Contest, you know, I know a lot of people use the weighted on base as a, you know, the split, the weighted on base. I know you mentioned some batter versus pitcher. A lot of debate in DFS circles about the use of batter versus pitcher. Me, myself, I think it's an intangible that we have to take into consideration, but a lot of guys just write it off altogether.
I think it's an indicator when there's a guy that really stands out and they've had some success. I mean, obviously, in anybody that's facing any pitcher, it's a short sample size, and there could be definitely, you know, some correction. A guy has one good game, and he could have 3 or 4 bad games. But, you know, when you see somebody that's had success against a pitcher over a period of time, and then you know, like LaCroix, for instance, he is playing well, you know, coming into the matchup. So, and he's hit this pitcher well. I think, you know, that's a little light bulb that goes off. I mean, so they'll be, you know, you're just looking, going through the slate and saying, there's some guys. But in DraftKings, you know, it tends to be a stack lineup. So you want to, you know, you want to find a nucleus of batters that have had success against that pitcher. And, you know, maybe that pitcher's, you know, slumping coming into the game. So I think there's, you know, you don't want to, I don't think we can win just picking 7 or 8 batters, you know, with good matchups because they're not going to come in. But I think that if you can, you know, pick your core and then maybe a couple of guys stand out and mix them in, I think that it works out where you can hit on it sometimes.
All the people out there in the DFS industry that play the baseball contest, a lot were anti-stacking. I think it's time to give that up right now because stacking seems to be the way to go. If a team is more than likely, if a team is going to go off against a certain pitcher, their whole lineup more than likely is going to go off, and you want a piece of that, and that's really the way you place high or even have a chance to knock down these big tournaments. You're going to see the stacks with the many stacks around some of the other teams around. Of course, it's best to hit on one of the sneaky ones, and I do think Milwaukee is one of the sneaky ones of the night. Then when you look at Pittsburgh's offense, I really don't think it's nothing really to see here as far as tonight goes.
Yeah, well, I mean, Pittsburgh's only hit, I think, two home. I was looking at the home run thing. I just set it up when they were talking about the Giants. I mean, the Giants had 19 homers, and Pittsburgh's got two or three homers in there at the bottom thing. But they do have, you know, plenty of talent in their lineup. And, you know,
yeah.
Whenever somebody has starts off slow, there is going to be some correction. But, I mean, you know, it doesn't, you know, Nelson hasn't given up a home run to a Pirate yet. You know, can he give up one tonight? Sure. But is he going to give up three? I don't think so. You know, I mean, he's pitched, you know, long enough, and he's like a decent arm. But, you know, he struggled at times, but he's got a little more experience. So I probably, you know, wouldn't be chasing the Pirates around tonight.
The Seattle Mariners in New York take on the Yankees. Nate Collins and Luis Severino on the slab. Yankee Stadium, of course, you know, hit a friendly ballpark. Yankees are 130 favorite in this one. 8 is the projected run total. So definitely going to be some little bit of offense in this contest. I really don't see myself tonight going with Severino or Collins, obviously, in this. Another intangible that people mainly in the DFS community, don't take into play, but I think as a sports fan that it is something that we can look at, is the revenge game. And you look at the Seattle Mariners' bats attacking Yankee Stadium. Of course, you got Robinson Cano sitting right on top of that lineup. I think Robinson Cano jumps out right off the top as a good play tonight. What do you think Severino's chances are against the Mariners tonight?
Well, I really like Severino's upside, and he's a guy that I thought in the preseason was he's a breakout pitcher for me and a scout. Unfortunately, I didn't draft him in any of my high-stake leagues, and he gave up 10 hits and 3 runs and 5 innings with 5 Ks in his first matchup, but the defense kind of let him down. But he's a high upside arm. If he gets his command a little bit, his K rate has some definitely in the range where he's going to have value in the daily space. I think he is somewhat undervalued tonight. And it's one of those games where Seattle has never faced him. So a lot of times we see all these bad pitchers, you know, face these teams that they never face and have success. So, you know, he's a good pitcher facing a team that hasn't success. So I actually think I kind of like Severino if you're kind of cheating back a little bit as a number two. Obviously, I wouldn't want to go with him as a lead guy, but if you're mixing a couple guys. So Severino, I'm interested in him tonight, even though, you know, like you said, they got the Cano factor and some other guys that can hit some home runs over there. And I think Seattle's got 14 home runs out of the gate, so they've hit some over the fence as well.
Severino, $7,900 is the price tag on DraftKings. Good bargain right there for Severino. I think he is a pitcher that I will have underexposed to tonight in some of my tournaments that I'll be into trying to knock one down, you know what I'm saying, at that time of year. But looking back at the slate, on the other side of the base, on the other side of the ball, Nate Collins, who is, you know, he, for the most part, I don't want to be too harsh on Nate Collins, but I think he is a guy that the bats on the Yankees can absolutely get after. And the one that comes to mind right off the top for me is Brian McCann.
I mean, when I was doing the research, on the Yankees facing Carnes, I mean, Carnes is 1-0 in his career and with a 2.91 ERA. He's got 28 Ks and 21.2 innings against the Yankees. That's pretty impressive, and he did that, obviously,
that
I think, with Tampa last year. The only Yankee hitter with a home run, I think, is A-Rod, and, All the Yankee hitters in their limited exposure, there was nobody that really stand out. D.D. Gregorius had 3 hits and 9 at-bats, but there wasn't really anybody that stood out, you know, like, hey, I want to take this guy. I mean, McCann, he probably is, viable for sure, but he didn't stand out as somebody that was that had a lot of success in the, you know, in the small sample size that I saw.
Okay. I get it, but, you know, McCann has been a player that's been pretty hot to start the season. He is one of the bats that's hitting in that lineup. I do think he's more of a tournament play, but I think I do want to be underexposed to McCann tonight, too, and maybe even Mark Teixeira. I think Teixeira might be able to, you know, I'm going for the power of the left, the power bat in that Yankee lineup. Now, with that being said about Collins, you think that he's worth a start tonight?
I mean, it's viable, but, you know, like I said, I was kind of leaning on the, you know, the Yankee side with Severino because I like him. I definitely think that, you know, he will pitch a good game and a bounce back. So, I mean, Carnes, you know, his price point's fair. So I would say that he's playable just because he has some K ability, but, you know, he does have some, you know, he does walk some guys at times. And you know, like you said, you know, some of those lefty bats, you know, they can take him deep. So, you know, I'd probably not put him in there just because he's on the road. I guess I'm trying to get in my head, like, you know, I play season long and I play daily, but I definitely have more value in the daily football because I can, you know, do a week's worth of research. But in the daily football baseball, I think it's, you know, as a kind of a guy that dives in one in and out and stuff is like, you know, what kind of philosophy can I play consistently that's going to come in? If I go to the dog track and I play the breakers are going to come in. If I'm going to play the class is going to come in. If I'm going to play the dogs coming off the pace, they're coming in. What kind of players am I going to play in daily baseball for pitchers especially? Am I going to play the home big favorites, or am I going to stay on Kershaw, or am I going to always be against the grain and the undervalued guys, and I'm going to take my beating when they come in? I'm going to have this great lineup. So it's developing a style and getting a handle of what you want to do. I think consistent, you know, if you can develop a consistent thought process of how you want to play, it's going to come in a certain amount of time rather than say, hey, I'm going to look at it tonight and I'm going to play it this way, and tomorrow night I'm going to play another way, and I'm going to play it the next day another way. What do you want to do? What kind of style of player you want to be? You want to be against the grain? You want to play favorites, or you want to, you know, pick every matchup every night, which is, I think, is the toughest of all of them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That is pretty tough also. But basically, as a tournament play, I think we're looking for those high upside pitchers with the K, with the elite strikeout ability, not to mention the fact putting together a couple of team stacks that we can get together, you know, using the Vegas way to kind of be on the right guy, but also baseball in nature being a contrarian sport, it is also probably best to get contrarian. And moving on to the next game in the slate, the Washington Nationals are in Philadelphia to take on the Phils. Joe Ross and Jeremy Hellickson on the slab. Citizens Bank Park, hitter-friendly. Washington a 140 favorite, 7.5 is the projected run total. 7.05 start, really no weather to worry about on the board tonight. Maybe some winds in a couple of places, but really no weather to speak of tonight. And I'm looking at this Washington team as maybe being a sneaky stack tonight also.
Well, Hellickson is he's 0-1 in his career against Washington with a 6.97 ERA. He's walked 8 batters in that 10.1 innings with 9 hits. You know, he doesn't look too attractive. In addition, you know, I do believe in, you know, Philadelphia has a lot of risk in the back of the bullpen. So you know, definitely Washington is a has a chance. You know, they have limited exposure to them as far as, like, you know, plate appearances and stuff like that. With Worth, I think, is the only one that has a home run, and I think Harper has 2 hits and 3 at bats. So I do agree with that it could be an interesting, because Hellickson has pitched 2 good games, but he does have, even last year, you know, he pitches well for a couple games, and he does have some disaster risk. And then, you know, and they're coming off a big game, and they played well over the last week. They changed the series. I mean, they are playing at home, but, you know, Washington could get rolling at any time.
The Philadelphia Phillies just don't score runs. And that offense is really nothing to look at in this situation. Especially against, I think, a guy that's going to fly under the radar tonight, but could be somebody that can help you knock down a tournament, a very sneaky play in Joe Ross.
Yeah, Ross threw the ball well in his first game. He gave up a run in the first inning, settled down, you know, got the victory, gave up 5 hits and 5 Ks through 7 innings. And, you know, he has a live arm. Over the winter, from talking to Jonathan Papillon, I think he added a splitter. Maybe it's not all the way, but, you know, maybe it helps him give some more K ability. He is pitching on the road, you know, with no experience against his team, which, you know, like you said, we talked about Severino, first-time starter against a team. They haven't seen him. Seems to be an edge. And, you know, Philadelphia doesn't. You know, they have one of the weakest lineups in the majors, you know, with Ryan Howard, the only guy probably hitting a couple homers so far.
Yeah, nothing really to see in that offense, and I think Ross is going to be a player. Listen, I like the big aces on the mound tonight. I think that, you know, as we continue to talk, I am going to, you know, we'll talk about some of them, and I think we'll be able to hit the value or the price point right now. But if you want to drop down, especially in two-pitcher sites like a DraftKings and maybe even the Fantasy Aces, I definitely believe that Joe Ross is the guy that I'll have some exposure to tonight. Moving right along, the Atlanta Braves are in Miami to take on the Marlins, two offenses that are not really hitting the best. But I do think Miami may have some action tonight. William Perez is on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. Wei-Yin Shin for the Marlins. Pitcher-friendly Marlins top his division. A nice favorite in this one, and the run total is sitting at 8.
Yeah, I mean, you know, William Perez, he pitched poorly in his only start against the Marlins last year. He went 0-1 with a gave up 10 base runners and 4 runs in 5 innings. Interesting to see that, you know, Asuna was the only guy to hit a home run off of him in 2 at-bats. And then D. Gordon, Hecheria, and Osuna, Prado, and Yelich has 6 hits and 11 at-bats against them. So that was pretty good to see that, and Stanton didn't play. So I just think, you know, he got banged around in his first start pretty good too. You know, he showed a little bit last year at times, but, you know, it's kind of like this – and then the problem, if you're you know, going with the you want to be contrarian, it probably this isn't the game, because I think a lot of people will identify this game and try to take Miami and figure he's gonna they're gonna bang around this guy, because they are kind of explosive offensively when they do get rolling. Even though I think they've only had one really really good game against the Mets a couple of days ago as far as hitting homers, but there is a lot of talent on that team.
No, I do agree with you. The talent is there, and you know what? It may not be an under-the-radar play. With the run total coming in at 8, you're going to have high price tags across the industry for guys like D. Gordon and Giancarlo Stanton, obviously two of the, you know, top stars of the game. But I do think there is some value in this lineup. And but like you said, you're going to be putting yourself at exposure of having a lot of guys that are heavily owned, which may not be the best way to go in tournaments. Getting back to it, and looking at this, of course, you know, predicting ownership is not something that I'm going to sit up here and tell you that I am very good at. But I think, you know, there's so much information out there, Sean, nowadays. And, you know, what we're doing will go out and be on the internet, people listen to it and stuff like that. Are there really any really true contrarian type under the radar plays? Because I'm quite sure people are going to be on the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. People are going to be on the Nats. People are going to be on the Marlins.
Yeah, I mean, it's like back to that thing I said about the Doug Grayson thing style. I mean, there's going to be the low percentage plays that are going to come down. I mean, you know what it is, though. You know, the low percentage plays is, you know, tends to be a going against the aces. You know, when the aces get bombed, you know, and somebody comes through, so you're looking for an ace that isn't in form that's going to get racked. But most likely it isn't going to be Kershaw, you know, that often. But we saw last year, I think there was a game, you know, David Price was facing the Yankees in some cold weather into Detroit, and they just rolled on him. And, you know, the And Detroit's bullpen was bad that year. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, knowing the strength of the bullpens is kind of important. You know, Kansas City, you know, tends to have a good bullpen. So, I mean, how many times are they going to blow up? You know, I think that, you know, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, even the White Sox, you know, a couple others have, you know, have some risk in the bullpen, Colorado, obviously. So, you know, starter with bullpen, you know, if you got an ace with a team with a bad bullpen, sometimes that can work out.
That's very interesting right there. That is a good thing to point to, because once the ace, once the starting pitcher starts to get rocking, you have to go to that bullpen, and sometimes you have some players in there that shouldn't be in the major leagues. Really nothing to see on the Atlanta side offensively. Team that's really struggling putting runs on the board right now. So does Wei-Yin Shin appear to be a guy that you think that you would have some exposure to in a night like tonight, being how weak the Atlanta Braves are, or is it too many top-notch pitchers even fool with Wei-Yin Shin?
Yeah, I mean, he had a little elbow injury, and anybody's got an injury, you're kind of concerned, but it is just one start. You don't know how long he's going to go. He's 1-0 in his career. He didn't give up a run against Atlanta, you know, pitching for Baltimore in, you know, in over 7 innings with a couple of Ks, and, you know, Ibar's got a home run off of him, but that's it. You know, so there isn't a lot of information. He is pitching at home. They paid him a lot of money. You kind of get the feeling that they're going to get out and he's going to have less pressure on him. So I think he's worth definitely being in the mix. I don't know if he's going to strike out a lot of guys. So, you know, his upside maybe might not be as far as you expect, and he might not go as long as a daily player might need to, you know, deliver that, you know, big score. But there is that underlying, you know, sneaky play. Maybe he does stick up last seven and then just strike out seven or eight guys. So with the Braves, especially when they're, you know, struggling to score runs.
The Chicago White Sox at Tampa Bay Rays. Here we have another situation where we have an ace on the mound. That guy is Chris Sale, an elite strikeout pitcher in Tropicana Field. Now, the White Sox are a 115 favorite, not the biggest favorite on the board. The run total is one of the lowest on the night at 6.5. Chris Sale, elite strikeout pitcher versus a team that can strike out. The Tampa Bay Rays, highest-priced pitcher on DraftKings tonight, if I'm not mistaken, is Chris Sale, coming in about $1,500 less than Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a tough run there because Cleveland, when Cleveland came in there and got some pretty good pitching from their starters, and they get Sale coming in, and, you know, Sale's got 61 Ks and 39 innings in his career against Tampa, but he doesn't – he's given up – you know, he's 2-4 with a 4.62 ERA, which is, you know, not great for what you expect. I mean, you know, I guess you prefer that game to be met at home, but when you look at the individual players that have for Tampa against them, you know, Logan Forsythe is the only one with a home run. Longoria's got 7 Ks and 14 at-bats. Nobody else really stands out. You know, he's kind of a guy that, you know, most people see that 4.62 ERA. He's pitched okay in his first two games, Sale, but they might, you know, kind of shade away from him and be more attracted to, like, the Kershaw name or Baumgartner or something like that. So I think that Sale, you know, obviously has that really, really – elite upside, and you know, obviously striking out 1.5 batters or almost an inning against Tampa in his career. So it looks like you know, the K's should be there for sure.
Even if he can't pull off the victory, I think the K's will be there. What's interesting is you look at a player like Sale or Kershaw. These guys, even though their price is high and everybody knows these are the elite pitchers, this could very well be a night where the elite pitchers are actually where all the contrarian plays, because you're trying to get these stacks in your lineup and you're not paying the big price for the Sales and the Kershaw. So interesting how it could go. Definitely want to have some exposure to Chris Sale, though, but it will be some lineups out there without him. But he is one of the players that will get on the roster. Jake Odorizzi, on the other hand, is the pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, what do you think about Odorizzi tonight against this White Sox lineup who, you know, is not really, you know, murderous row?
Yeah, he hasn't. Jake hasn't. You know, he's pitched okay. He didn't pitch that great in his last game. He gave up 4 runs in 6 innings. He had 4 strikeouts. He's got 14 Ks and 11.2 innings in a year. He, you know, obviously shows some K ability in his career. The White Sox drilled him pretty good in his only start last year. I would imagine. You know, he gave up has an 8.31 ERA. So and he got knocked out by the 5th inning. But you know, again, he is one game against him. You know, basically, Adam Eaton is 1-3 with no production, and Abreu's 1-2 with minimal, you know, nothing happening. So there really isn't, when you're looking at on the current roster, there isn't anybody drilling him, and it's just short sample size. And people will say he's got an 8.31 ERA, that's kind of thing. But, you know, this could be another pitcher's battle, and, you know, he has double-digit K ability, and, you know, the White Sox tend to be a right-handed team. So, you know, it definitely He would definitely probably be a guy that would kind of be slipping through the radar this year because, you know, he doesn't stand out with, you know, what he's done so far and he pitched poorly in his one matchup in his career against them.
Yep. And really nothing that – maybe a little exposure to a Jose Abreu looking for the long ball, but I really don't play many White Sox. So I don't think that it'll be the night where I start to go to the White Sox. Now, the New York Mets are in Cleveland to take on the Indians. Bartolo's on the mound. Cody Anderson told the slab for the Indians. Progressive Field. Cleveland's a small favorite in this one, 118. Nice high run total sitting at 8. A lot of people probably be on these Cleveland Indians bats with this run total sitting at 8, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, Colon is like, you know, he just goes on and on. The guy throws strikes. You know, he's obviously pitched really good. He faced Philadelphia in the first game, I think, of the year, and he had, you know, 8 Ks and gave up a 1 run. But, I mean, he just, you know, Colon just is sneaky. But, you know, there is some Indian guys that have, you know, have hit him pretty good. So, you know, this it has a chance, you know, for sure, that the Indians might do something in this game.
I agree, but Bartolo's running the pitches. I really don't like the stack against. Don't get me wrong. He does have disaster capability. The guy can implode. On the other side, Cody Anderson is on the hill for the Indians, Sean. And what do you think about Anderson versus this New York Mets lineup?
Yeah, Anderson was interesting because he was kind of a late mover in the season-long games and the drafts. So he was moving up. And his price point, I believe, is $5,000. So, you know, there was talk that his fastball was up in spring training. And if you go back and, you know, you get minimal information on some of these sites anyways, but there was a, you know, game in Colorado on, I think, March 11th, where his average fastball was 96, but he might only throw one or two innings where they can air it out a little bit. So, you know, his last start, it was in the 93s, which is, you know, slightly higher than last year. But, you know, he's, you know, has a, you know, real short resume, but he's so cheap in this matchup, and you would have, you know, you kind of feel as though that Cleveland has, you know, a couple of guys that have home runs off Cologne that they should score some runs, that Anderson might be in position for a win and maybe, you know, get, you know, 5 to 7 strikeouts and be surprising in this game, especially where he's, you know, basically free, you know? And so I think that he's viable. I threw him into something I wrote before I was talking to you as a, you know, a back end person and talked about the same things I just talked about.
No doubt. Definitely a guy tonight that you can take as an option for a second pitcher. We were talking about him on the big radio program this morning on SiriusXM. And Cody Anderson is a guy that we definitely think you want to get involved with. Getting ready to get a little bit deeper into the slate, but of course, head on over to Scout Fantasy. Get all the great content from Sean and the rest of the crew, Dr. Photo, Tommy G, in the forum with his DFS baseball rundown Monday through Friday. Get that going. Of course, Startup Dynasty League now available. PlayScoutFantasy.com. Maybe you can be the next Dynasty Fantasy Football King. And, of course, NFL draft coverage, everything like that going on over at Scout Fantasy right now. Getting back into the slate, Toronto is at Boston. 9 is the projected run total on this one. Boston's a slight favorite. Fenway Park, Rick Pocello, who can be a gas can, and R.A. Dickey, all the guys on the slab tonight. A knuckleballer. How do you approach a knuckleballer in DFS?
Well,
run total sitting out there.
Well, you know, they faced him last week. I mean, Dickey had like 9 strikeouts, but I mean, you know, he's hot and cold. I mean, I kind of like he struck out the 9. You know, like a couple years ago when he was pitching for the Mets, he was striking out 230, and he gets 9. I was like, maybe he's back. He's got, you know, a little more life in it, a little more command, but he still, you know, struggled in that matchup. But I mean, you know, Dickey is what he is. He, you know, can pitch well enough for that team where he gives up 3 or 4 runs and keep him in the game. But he does, if his knuckleball is a little flat, that he can give up some home runs at times. And, you know, just like, you know, Toronto, I mean, the Red Sox do have a few home runs in their career against him.
If you can hit a knuckleballer, that's a time when I think batter versus pitcher is something that becomes a very important stat. Because most players struggle with the knuckleball. So, you know, when you're doing your research, you go through to see what the situation is with the Boston Red Sox BVP against R.A. Dickey, because the knuckleball is that's a unique pitch. And if you can hit that, that may very well be a unique skill.
Yeah, now, well, I mean, if you just look at the Red Sox, me to go on that?
So you got it up?
I was going to say that, you know, Betts has 8 hits and 26 at-bats with a you know, an RBI. Bogaerts is 11 for 30 with 7 RBIs. You got Hanley's got hitting over 300. Shaw's hitting over 300 in limited bats. You know, Ortiz has, you know, 4 homers against them. I mean, there's enough in that lineup where they've faced them enough and they've done damage. You know, but like I said, Toronto does bash Porcello pretty well, pretty good as well.
Yeah, no, there's going to be some fireworks in this one. And it's almost like if you're rolling, you know, 5 or 6 lineups out there tonight, how much exposure do you have to? You have to have exposure to this game and all of your lineups.
I think you do. I think that this game, and I think it will probably falls in that favorite category that we talk about. That people will look at this game. They, you know, when, I always think that, you know, and this probably is the reverse when a pitcher faces a team back-to-back, if they get bombed in the first game, they usually bounce back in the next game. When they get pitch well in the first game and they face them back-to-back, They tend to struggle a little bit. I mean, maybe not get bombed, but they don't do as well. But, you know, this game, they obviously, Porcello had 7 strikeouts. I think he gave up 4 runs, and he kind of hung in there, but he still gave up. Batista hit a couple homers. And Dickey obviously struggled a little bit. So do they bounce back and it's outside? I don't know, but, I mean, it just kind of like when you look at the numbers of both teams, you're like, man, this game is good. It could be a shootout. So, you know, this is the game that, you know, I probably if you were playing in like a big qualifier, a big tournament, you might want to fade it because, you know, everybody that's going to have deep pockets is going to be circling and covering every dot on this map. And, you know, you might be able to go against the grain, but I mean, there's definitely a, you know, interesting game. I mean, obviously I wish I live close to Boston, you know, it'd be a good game to go to.
Yeah, no, you definitely could see some fireworks tonight in Fenway Park. But like you said, if this ends up, you know, being a 1-0 type game and you don't have no exposure to this game, you could be sitting in a good spot. So definitely in one of the lineups I'll do tonight, I would definitely want to fade this game because, you know, if it goes off, I'm willing to throw one lineup away in order to just be the contrarian against this matchup. Another team, another big, big-time matchup tonight where some runs can be scored is in Texas. Ballpark in Arlington Rangers Ballpark. The Baltimore Orioles head there to take on the Rangers. Vance Worley on the mound for the Orioles. Martin Perez towing the slab for the Texas Rangers. Texas the 120 favorite. Here we go again. The run total is sitting at 9 with Boston and Toronto. This is another game that you're going to see a lot of action on, especially these Baltimore Oriole bats.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, Perez does have some talent. And
no,
Worley,
he does. You're right.
And Worley did pitch pretty well a couple of years ago for Pittsburgh. Doesn't usually get himself in trouble. I mean, he blew up in Minnesota a few years back, but in his first season with Philadelphia, I think he pitched pretty, you know, thing. So, you know, he will draw some attraction for sure to go against Worley. I mean, you know, when I looked at it, you know, there was, you know, Prince Fielder had pretty good success against Worley. He had 4 hits and 9 at bats with a homer and a double and 3 RBIs. And Desmond, who has been struggling, you know, maybe got a couple of RBIs. He does have 2 homers off Worley. So it was 2 guys that, you know, like, hey, those guys might do something. So, but there wasn't like, you know, it stood out that there was a ton of guys that have had success. But, you know, it's, again, you know, this is the game with the right bats and a couple of pitchers that are second-tier pitchers or back-end starters that you feel that could blow up. But they might be, this game might be just like 6-5. Or something like that, and they don't go off. But it's definitely viable as a game that could go off as well.
When you look at the Ranger bats, anything you see in there?
The only one I saw was the Fielder and Desmond were the only 2 guys that stood out. I mean, as you know, the Oriole ones, there was Machado and Trumbo both had a home run. Trumbo has obviously been hot, you know, so he'd be, you know, a guy that's playing well, facing the pitcher, he's hit a home run, would draw some attention. Even J.J. Hardy's played pretty well in last week, which is surprising, but he's 3-for-6 in his career with a double and 3 RBIs against Perez, so he stands out. And then Wieters has 3 hits and 9 RBIs, I mean, I'm sorry, 3 hits and 9 at bats. So, you know, so there was enough, you know, a couple Baltimore bats, you know, batters that, you know, stood out. But Trumbo would probably, and Hardy, just because, you know, they fit that category. They look like they're swinging the ball well. Facing the pitcher, they've had success.
Mark Trumbo, $4,100 on DraftKings tonight. He's going to be a guy that's going to be in a lot of lineups. I think you're going to see a lot of Baltimore stacks. He would shoot at the second baseman. And Manny Machado has gained shortstop eligibility on DraftKings. So you can now play Manny Machado at shortstop on DraftKings. He comes in at $4,400 at price tag. Ian Desmond, who hasn't hit yet, price dropped down to $4,000. J.J. Hardy, $2,600 price tag on DraftKings. He'll be in just about every lineup tonight. And Nomar Mazzaro for the Texas Rangers, the prospect that's come up and been pretty hot to start the season. He is $3,300 on DraftKings and some of the prices on inside that matchup. Nothing that doesn't seem like you can't be able to build a lineup and get that correct stack. So the price is a little bit softer on DraftKings going into this weekend's set of baseball games. Up next, another baseball game is going to be heavily targeted because we've got some big bats in this one. Detroit Tigers and Mike Pelfrey are in Houston to take on the Astros. Minute Maid Park, the ace, Dallas Keuchel on the mound. for the Houston Astros, elite strikeout pitcher, in a good spot to get a win against Mike Pelfrey, who is probably shouldn't be in the major leagues right now. Houston, a big-time 190 favorite, the biggest favorite on the board in the day, in the night slate, the biggest favorite on the board, and, of course, the goodness that comes with the Houston Astros back. What do you think about this this Astros lineup tonight? And what kind of – definitely one of the teams is going to be a very popular stack tonight.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Pelfrey is a ground ball pitcher, and he doesn't usually give up a ton of home runs, but he does give up a lot of hits, and he tends to not have great command. Rasmus, the only guy with a home run off of Pelfrey in his career, obviously the most of the Houston Astros, a lot of their batters are younger, so they haven't faced him as much. So, you know, Correa's 0-for-2 with an RBI. Gattis has a couple of hits and two at-bats, and I think Springer's 1-for-3 with 2 Ks. So, short sample size, but Pelfrey's 3-4 in his career against Houston with a close to a 5 ERA, giving up 69 base runners in 45 innings, which is a lot. It's definitely, a game that, he should get, have some risk in. And Houston hasn't really kind of smashed the homers like they normally do, but, I mean, they definitely have a lot of power in that lineup.
What do you think about maybe taking a shot on these Tigers bats? Because they can get it done, too. Even though, Keuchel, obviously, elite strikeout, elite ground ball pitcher. Maybe the sneaky stack is Detroit tonight.
Well, I wrote something on yesterday for I was reviewing a couple of pitchers that, had kind of, got drafted late or, and trying to see, the direction of going. And, Keuchel was somebody that was drafted early, but he kind of walked a lot of guys in his first two starts. So I was, had 10 walks in 12 innings. I thought that kind of stands out to me. So I dug in a little bit. And last year he had only one game in his 33 starts in the regular season where he walked more than three batters. So he's already has two of those. So I dug into his velocity, and his velocity on his fastball, was a couple mile an hour down, and every one of his pitches was down. And when I looked at every start last year, his fastball was like 87 or something. Last year, I think he only had one game where he dipped under 88. And in even that game, his cutter or whatever, was faster than that. So his velocity was down. So it, to me, is like, is there something up with him? He threw 246 innings last year. Is he coming into a season where he's, his arm's got a little less life? He battled it through the first couple of games, 1-1 with 3.55 ERA. But, if he does, is it the command, or is he, his fastball down a little bit and he doesn't trust his stuff and he's kind of picking away? And, how long did the major league hitters catch up to him and figure he's got a little less life in the strike zone? But it's kind of, not for sure, and it's still early in the season. Cold weather could have been a factor, and maybe he loosens up and it goes forward and he gets the barrack where he was. But just something that you notice, and you're saying, you're right, maybe the Tigers are the stack. Maybe they could be the sneaky stack tonight. Victor's got a home run and Kinsler against him, but it's just definitely a something to pay attention to heading into this game.
No doubt. Listen to some of the prices. J.D. Martinez is at $3,900. Justin Upton is at $3,500. These guys haven't hit yet, obviously. Miguel Cabrera still carries that nice Miguel Cabrera price tag at $4,500. Ian Kinsler is $3,800. And some of the guys in the outfield. So definitely some interest in this sneaky Detroit Tigers stack. If you have the bankroll to do multiple lineups, this right here, I don't go in there tonight with one lineup to play the Tiger stack because it could be a short night of watching baseball and you could be at the ball a little bit earlier than you expected. But if you're doing multiple lineups, I do not think this is a bad way to go at all. Pick on Dallas Keuchel a little bit. His ownership shouldn't be too high, so you won't really, get a big turn against the rest of the field with beating up on Dallas Keuchel. But I do say you're going to see some Tiger bats that can have a definite opportunity, just as any other good opportunity as anybody else taking on a bottom feeder tonight. As far as going against an ace tonight. Now the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are at Minnesota to take on the Twins. Garrett Richards, a pitcher that really we saw jump down the stretch in season-long league drafts. Tom Malone on the hill for the Twins. Twins struggling mightily this season. Target Field is the venue. The Angels are a small favorite this one. 120 is the money line number. 8 is the projected run totals. Going to be people on these Anaheim bats tonight, but Minnesota has to win the game eventually.
Well, you would think so. Sooner or later, they'll probably, when they do, they'll probably score a ton of runs when they break loose. Richards, you know, he started off the year 0-2. Didn't really score for him. He gave up, 3.86 ERA, 13 Ks in 11 innings. Pretty solid numbers, and he's 2-1 in his career against Minnesota with a 2.52 ERA and I think 18 Ks. He did walk 12 batters in 25 innings as well. And it looks like Trevor Plouffe's the only one that's kind of got him. He's hit a couple home runs off of him in his career, but overall, it's a decent matchup for Richards for sure. As far as Tommy Malone, Pujols is actually hit 520 against them in his career with 5 doubles, 3 homers, and 11 RBIs. So I think that people will identify with that, Malone being a soft-toss and lefty, there's one guy that's, had pretty good success against them.
Yeah, no, that is an interesting point right there. So Albert Pujols, and then, of course, Albert Pujols, a player not really off to a good start in season. Really the only bat in that Anaheim lineup is Mike Trout. This matchup right here will probably make him a top player on the night with that nice high run total. And you don't see the Minnesota Twins being able to score 5 of those. So Mike Trout could be the producer of a lot of offense for the Anaheim Angels tonight. Moving right along, another one right here where you're going to see a lot of people are going to be on the St. Louis Cardinals tonight. They are in Cincinnati to take on the Reds. The Reds could be a very sneaky play also tonight. Tim Melville and Carlos Martinez on the mound at Busch Stadium. St. Louis, one of the bigger favorites on the night, coming in at 185. 7.5 is the run total. Everybody's going to be on the Cardinals in this one, but I think it could be some action on both sides of the plate.
Yeah, I mean, Melville, he gave up 1 run in 4 innings in his first game and 9 base runners, but, he was on the hook in the first inning. He had the bases loaded with 2 outs, and he was facing Josh Harrison, and Harrison hit a line shot home run that he just pulled foul, and then he ended up, hitting a hard ground ball to shortstop to end the inning. And, they had him on the hook. They could have TKO'd him early. The game could have got out of control. He hung in there pretty good, and all the people that, wanted to stack against Melville in that first game ended up losing their money. But I expect, another game. The guy didn't have a great resume that St. Louis has been scoring a lot of runs. And, they might continue to at least put up some runs against him for sure. And Martinez is, 3-1 in his career with a 2.4 ERA and 34 Ks in 32 innings. And he's a talented arm with some, he can walk some guys at time. But, this is definitely one of the – I think this is probably one of the highest favorites on the night as far as betting, favorites.
Yep.
Anyway. So St. Louis should be a pretty solid play in this game. And, I wouldn't expect, this game to be that competitive,
No, definitely St. Louis, one of the higher favorites on the night. Now he's starting to get into the later slate, the games that will start at 10 p.m. Eastern time tonight. These are kind of the games where you need the guys to save your bacon, and the Kansas City Royals and the the Oakland A's, Edison Volquez and Rich Hill on the mound at the Oakland Coliseum. 7 is the projected run total. Oakland, a small favorite, coming in at 115 against the money line. Boy, I tell you what, this Kansas City Royals team, they just hit you to death, but Oakland comes in the favorite in this one against Edison Volquez.
Yeah, it was really surprising. Rich Hill had that great run last year for Boston to end the year, and then spring training he couldn't throw a strike, and he got knocked out early in his first start that he was filled in for Gray when on a short notice, and he was pretty terrible. So next game you're like, this guy's gonna stink, and he struck out 10 guys. I think it was against Seattle and gave up 1 run in 6 innings. So it's like, is he back or is he a bum? He's kind of like both directions. So he's kind of a interesting guy because he has that potential based on what he did in the last month of the year to put up a big score, or he could also be the guy that gives you the -7 and knocks you out of the match. And Volquez has done a really, really nice job for so far this season for Kansas City. You know, 15 Ks and 11 innings of the win, and even his last game, he's shutting out, pitching pretty well against Minnesota, and they gave up a couple runs in the sixth inning for him not to get the victory. But you know, gotta like the direction that Volquez is going so far this season.
I agree with you on that one. I think he's going to be an under-owned pitch, another under-the-radar guy. Definitely got to save your bacon in them 10 p.m. Eastern time starting times. You know, Edison Volquez could get you those points and make you in the night pretty good. Of course, the big one on the night, San Francisco Giants at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mad Bum and Clayton Kershaw on the slab. Dodger Stadium, teams that are very familiar with each other, pitching matchups against players very familiar with each other. Dodgers, a nice big favorite at 175. Six is the projected run total. This looks like a classic Clayton Kershaw Mad Bum game. What do you got for these two teams tonight?
Yeah, I mean, this is always a great matchup, but I'm telling you what, that Madison Baumgartner in this matchup is always a good underdog play. He's just got a lot of guts. He battles in the games. It just seems like San Francisco as a team just seems they got that drive a little bit more than the Dodgers. You know, whenever they play, they somehow sneak these games out. I mean, Kershaw, you know, pitched great in his last start, against San Francisco, he hung in there after giving up a couple runs. The Dodgers end up winning that game 3-2, even though that Baumgartner had the early edge. Baumgartner gave up a run with 8 Ks in 6 innings, you know, and then Kershaw two runs in 8 innings with 5 Ks. But both pitchers have great career resumes against each other. Obviously, Kershaw has the better, 16-7 with a 1.57 ERA, 248 Ks and 235 innings. But that's probably facing some weaker Giant teams earlier in his career. But overall, I mean, this game could go either way. I don't think Kershaw. I think the Giants put the bat on the ball well enough for Kershaw. I don't expect him to get 14. I expect him to pitch well, and I think Baumgartner, he battles his game pretty good.
No doubt. I mean, look at both of the offenses. Like you said, you still got these two studs on the mound, so you're not going to see too many players on this team. But you do have some players, including Angel Pagan and some others, that are playing well for the San Francisco Giants. Matter of fact, the Giants are one of the top run-producing teams in the majors to start the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out. I'm not really one to stack against Clayton Kershaw. I don't have the kind of bank order to take the kind of shot on a lineup like that. But if you're playing in, one of the little donkey tournaments on DK, the $3 ones, and maybe loading up a couple lineups in that, maybe a San Fran stack may not be the wrong way to go. Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres get ready to finish off the night for us. Zach Greinke and James Shields at Petco Park. Arizona 135 favorite. The run total is sitting at 6.5 in this one. The Padres historically terrible on offense. And Zach Greinke, who has not been out to the greatest start of the season. This looks like some home cooking for him right here. An anemic Padres offense at the spacious Petco Park.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they paid you $206 million, right, you could probably step to the mound and have a 9.90 ERA and give up 20 base runners in 10 innings. Do you think you could do that?
I think I could probably do a little bit better than that. Pull that one off for him and give him some more.
Yeah, so he's obviously got off to a slow start, getting paid a ton of money, but he does have a great resume against the Padres, 6-1 with a 1.56 ERA and 75 Ks in 80 innings. It just looks like, even though Shields is a really good pitcher, San Diego's up there in strikeouts, struck out I think 100 and something times, second most in the league. This just seems like it would be the game that Greinke has some sort of correction, where everybody's going to, and he is a little bit cheaper than the top guys. I think he's 10,000 at DraftKings or something like that. So bad start, but you know what? Sometimes you chase the guys that were the correction and seem like they're the easy out and they end up, he has a game where he's moving in the right direction. He pitches 7 innings, gives up 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks and 5 Ks. Pitches well, gets the win, but it's not an impact game. So it could fall into that category as well. But he is, Greinke is a talented pitcher. He doesn't have that elite K ability of some of the Chris Sales and Kershaws for sure. But, he was pretty damn good for the Dodgers last year.
I agree with you 100% on that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this night plays out. Real big slate, a lot of big tournaments going on across the daily fantasy space. So make sure you get involved. Scout Fantasy is the website where you get all the good information at. Sean Child, Senior Fantasy Expert, of course. Dr. Roto out there and Tommy G. DFS rundown will be on the site today. Give you his plays for the night. Get you ready. Hop on over there in them premium forums and get that going. I always like to end like this, Sean. Going over all the things we went at this entire slate, when they put the article up on Scout Fantasy, who do you think should be the cover, what player should be the cover art?
The cover art for tonight's action. And that is an interesting question.
Now, I was thinking, you know what, everybody around the industry is going to have the Zach Greinkes and the Carlos Correas and, you know, the guys look to put up the big numbers tonight. Let's go a little under the radar with it.
Let's go under the radar. Are you looking for a pitcher or a hitter? Who you want?
Give me a pitcher for the cover art, under the radar pitcher that'll make people click on this.
Fantasy Gold Cody Anderson for $5,000.
There you go right there. Cody Anderson, I like that one a lot. The Cleveland Indians. I was thinking Luis Severino, but Cody Anderson, you know what, I can get with that too.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets have struggled a little bit, not playing well. I mean, you expect them to do something at some point, you know. But in baseball, all it takes is that one inning. You get the guy hits that little infield ground ball, and the guy gets hit on his, you know, like the jersey by his foot or something, gets on base. And then there's a guy tries to bunt, and they mess it up. And then next thing you know, they score 5 runs, the guy hits home runs, and then they start to score for like 3 or 4 games. So it doesn't take much to get the confidence going for some of these things. And it's amazing when you watch all these games how the weird interaction changes the game and how they end up winning or losing. So it's pretty stressful if you got, you know, season-long or a daily game action for sure.
No doubt, Sean. Always good times, always good stuff, of course. The 2016 NFL schedule has been released. The road to the Fantasy Football World Championship will be starting when we bang the gavel on the 2016 NFL season at the NFL Draft. We also start the road to the Fantasy Football World Championship, a journey that will end on Monday night, December 26th, as the Dallas Cowboys are home to the Detroit Lions. Fantasy football coverage, fantasy football drafts already in order, Dynasty Fantasy Football, and, of course, the best daily fantasy baseball content on the internet over at Scout Fantasy right now. For Sean Childs, I am Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive. Scout Fantasy presents the Takeover. We're out.